What's up, what's up, what's up, everyone? It's your girl, Mrs. Renee here, and we are back with another episode of the I Definitely Do podcast. Of course, we are kicking it old school. You know, we did a Mother's Day special. We had Temptation Island for the last couple weeks, and now we're going back to our usual formattington. Yeah, I just made that word up. Where we talk about just different topics that we see on social media, that we hear in passing, that's out in the world, out in the ether, if you will. And I kind of want to spice it up today, if you'll indulge me. First, I'm going to introduce my amazing co-host.
Amazing.
I said, baby, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Gotta get the hand movement in there. All right.
What's up, universe? It's Mr. B.
Mr. B, I kind of want to throw a curveball into the mix because I'm feeling saucy.
Saucy.
Today. I really am.
Yes. What kind of sauce?
I'm feeling saucy. Extra sauce.
Extra sauce.
Extra sweet and sour sauce.
Ooh.
For a 10-piece nugget.
Speaking my language.
Yeah. Now I'm talking your language.
Ooh.
I want you to start. I want you to throw me the first topic on the docket today. And we're gonna end with mine, but we're gonna start with whatever you've got on the tabla today. Mr. B, go ahead and tell them a little something.
This is a curve.
I know, this is crazy. It might not work. We're gonna try it once.
Okay,
we're gonna see how it goes. Nobody out there panic.
Okay,
because if we have to, we can go back to the original format.
Okay,
but today, Mr. B, if you would indulge us, what is your topic today that you'd like to share?
Well, I saw a tweet a couple days ago with the beautiful Michelle Obama.
Hey, Michelle.
Michelle Obama giving the news that their dog, Bo, lost his bout with cancer. And she was in her statement was talking about all the memories that they had and how they would wait for the kids to come to school or be at the White House for the Easter egg rolls, and how he loved like everybody home during the pandemic and everything like that. But, you know, he had, you know, cancer. And so it was his time to go. And, you know, she also reminded us to, you know, just hold our little furry ones, our family members, our furry family members, you know, a little tighter for them just in general. And so I was going to bring this up because I think we're going on about 2 years since our buddy, Simon Chug, passed away. And I'm just wanting to ask you how are you doing with everything?
Yeah.
And into, I guess, maybe a favorite memory or maybe, you know, like something that you want to say or whatever about our little Simon Chug. So we can.
That's nice. I like that. My birthday has become a little, like, marred with the memory of our dog dying because even though I'm okay. So I guess that answers kind of your first question. I'm okay. But it was a really traumatic experience when he died that day, and it was the day before my birthday and the day before our egg retrieval was supposed to happen and all of this other stuff. And so it just made my birthdays a little bit harder because now my memories are of my doggy dying, and that was really sad. But I am so much better than I was last year, and definitely much better than I was the day that he passed away, because I was about a wreck for a couple weeks. So I'm doing well. And I was actually just thinking about Mr. Simon Chug today, earlier today. And so I'm going to share that my favorite memory, one of the things that I miss the most about him, is our naps. I took a really delicious nap today. It was really good because it was like I didn't set an alarm even though somebody was supposed to wake me up and did not.
Oh.
I'm going to stop asking you because you never wake me up when I ask you to. But I took a really delicious nap. And my other dog, Jonesy, was with me and it was really nice. But I remember thinking to myself the way that Simon liked to sleep with me when we would take afternoon naps and the way that he just snuggled up into me. And I really could have used it today, honestly. It was the best. I loved our nap times together. And so, rest in peace, little Simon Chug. I know that you are up in heaven punking all the dogs and eating all the chicken. Because that was your favorite.
That is so true.
And we miss you very much.
He is running things up there in doggy heaven.
In you doggy know that. Heaven.
Because they're scared of him. Doesn't King matter what size. King of the dog park has arrived.
He was a pit bull in a chug's body.
For real. I love that.
What about you, Mr. B? How are you, and what is your favorite puppy memory?
I really miss that boy. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I know you miss him too. So mm-hmm. I miss that you have don't have your buddy. You know.
Yeah.
It's good that we have Jonesy. Mm-hmm. I love Jonesy. A very different kind of energy, though.
Yep.
And it's not Simon Chug. You know, it's a very different type of dog, but I love her.
She's great.
And so right now, I still deeply miss him
because mm-hmm.
He was that kind of dog. But I'm okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good memories that mm-hmm. I have of him. But the ones that come to mind just in general, and this just reminds me because I was at a hotel this past weekend
yeah.
and I just thought about how awesome it would be to have him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how I would sneak him in
yeah,
in
we used
some
to
way.
Sneak him into hotels all the time.
All the time.
In a backpack or.
Right.
Like, we'd go, like, when it had the hotels where the rooms were outside.
Outside, you're
we'd
right.
just carry them in there, like, oh, we're good, yeah, no worries.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But we would sneak him in, and I was like, oh, that would be awesome, and he would be a really good, because like, it was a really relaxing, you know, time, and mm-hmm. it was like, oh, he, again, with the whole idea of being able to sleep with, you know, next to a person, mm-hmm. he's... perfect.
Yeah, it was a great cuddle dog, and that
yeah.
was his purpose in life.
Right,
was to like, be in your lap or in your bed and cuddled up next to you.
Right, exactly, and I miss that in general. So,
that was sweet, babe.
Yeah, that was
I'm
my
glad
topic.
You did that. Was that your only one for today?
Yeah, that's the only one I was going to bring up.
All right, well, let's get into mine. They're definitely not as emotional and beautiful as that, but that's okay. Because we can bring some levity back into our podcast. I got this one from Instagram, and it's been a while since we've done this, y'all. So if some of these topics are old, just, you know, act like it was so, you know, 2 weeks ago or however quickly people move on from things now.
Mm-hmm.
But crazy bitch problems posted. If your relationship fails, don't just blame him, girl. In capital letters, it takes two. Him and his motherfucking mama, period, because it ain't you, sis. Now, I know this is a joke. I know it's a joke. It's a meme. Crazy bitch problems does funny memes. I love them. If you're not following them on Instagram, why? They're hilarious. But is there even a nugget of truth to that? Would you say that the average heteronormative couple...
Uh-huh.
There's gonna be an issue between mother of the groom and the bride, always, even if it's low key.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
I mean, I know you wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
But based off of what you've seen, maybe.
And what I've heard.
Yeah, what you've heard.
I don't think it's necessarily true that there's always gonna be some kind of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think it's necessarily true that a mother chirping into her son's ear ultimately gets him to side with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there are, I'm pretty sure, you know, a little bit their opinions there, but I'm hoping that a lot of adult men, by the time they become adult men, would be able to know that they make that ultimate decision regardless of what their mom says,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so I don't think it holds as much weight, which I, you know, it always also depends on how close they are because mm-hmm. like, and maybe even close by proximity because if he's living with mom,
mm-hmm.
that's a very different story than an independent man on his own, mm-hmm. where he sees mom on the weekends, whenever
she's a phone call away.
Right. Kind of so depending on the situation, of course, you know, it'll be different. But I don't think a mom's opinion necessarily plays as big of a role as some people would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My opinion.
In my experience, I was thinking a lot about this. I'm like, I'm going to say that it just depends on the person. I mean, I know it's supposed to be like an overarching, it's funny because it's true universal relation thing. And in my current relationship, I don't know that because, you know, my husband's mother passed away, so I didn't get that experience. In past relationships, I mean, the last man that I dated, seriously dated before Mr. B, his mom had never met me, had never really heard of me,
really?
Didn't care one real iota about me until this particular relationship brought me up and I was supposed to meet her. Or did I meet her? See, now I can't even remember. Right. That's how insignificant. But I think I did meet her on a Thanksgiving once. And she was real nice and we were cool, but then she never really, in the remaining, I think two or three years of our relationship, I never really heard from her again. So conflict, contention, no, but he never really talked to her much either. So it didn't matter. Relationships where I was in high school. I mean, yeah, but that's your mom's job, is to be all up in your business. So I don't know if I can count that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I'm going to have to disagree just because it's not my experience. So if y'all in the comments know anything about having a shitty relationship with your husband or boyfriend's mother, and that's very real and accessible for you, let us know. Right. I would love to hear more about it because I don't know. But I know that it was a joke. I get that it was just supposed to be like a ha-ha funny, but most of the time...
But that's real sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time things are funny because they're true and they're relatable. And so I'm like, is this relatable? I know why it's funny, but when I really analyze it, it's not relatable to me.
Yeah.
It's not relatable to you, Mr. B. So we want to meet somebody who it is relatable to.
Right.
Like I said, let us know in the comments if it is. Let us know what you think. All right, my next topic. Another lighthearted one. And I think this kind of applies to you, but I don't know, so you let me know. It's a tweet. Quiet, laid-back men. Why do you go for loud, fiery women? Discuss.
Because they speak up. It's a different kind of energy. It's almost like compensating for their lack in some way. In many ways, they're looking for someone who's a go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
To balance them out. They'll say balance. Some people will say compensate. But that just sounds like something of a opposites type of thing to... That is a good situation. You know what I mean? If you can make that work out. I don't know how long it'll last or... Maybe it might clash in some ways because you're so different, but for the most part, I think a quiet, kind of shy guy with a really loud bullhorn, you know, type of person, and woman or man, that's what they're doing. That's the balance or compensation type of thing.
Now, I consider you to be quiet and kind of laid back, but would you say that I'm loud and fiery?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I didn't think this really applied. I think that part of it applied to you, the quiet and laid back. But I'm like, I'm loud.
I'm the loud one.
Yeah, literally, you're much louder than me. I'm way more quiet by volume. And just like, he's way more willing to like talk to the Uber driver when we're going when we used to get rides to places. I'm not that bitch. Never have been that bitch. That's his job. He sits in the front. I sit in the back and fall asleep.
Right. You tune out.
I tune it all the way. I'll put my headphones in.
Right.
He's way more loud and social like that than I am. And I don't think I'm fiery by any means. I think like someone always willing to get into a fight with you or argue with you or contentious all the time. And I'm not really contentious any of the time. But I thought it was funny because someone responded to this tweet, a guy, and said, someone's got to tell the waiter that I ordered mashed potatoes and it certainly ain't going to be me.
Right. See, there you go.
And I love that. He's like, I'm not going to do it. But my loud, fiery ass girlfriend most definitely will.
And she'll probably get you a discount on it at the same time. So, there you go. Why not?
Anybody out there who is quiet and laid back dating someone loud and fiery, or could you never? I feel like I'm pretty quiet. I don't know if I'm laid back, but I do tend to date people who are louder than me.
Yeah.
And not necessarily speak up, because I don't think I necessarily have a problem with speaking up for myself or taking up for myself or anybody else when I feel like they need it.
Uh-huh.
But someone who can cheer louder than me comes in handy a lot of the time, or someone who can be peppy and energetic when 99% of the time I'm pessimistic and tired. So, you know, I like that as a quiet, semi laid back person.
Right.
My loud and fiery husband balances me out.
I don't know if I'm fiery.
He's not fiery at all. He's
peppy as hell. Fiery,
but he's energetic and peppy as hell. I like that.
Right.
He's got spirit. Yes, he do.
That hell is the fiery part, but it's not completely like, but as
hell. How about you? Let us know in the comments what you guys think. Of course, we always want to hear from you. If you experience something, or if you think that we're just dead wrong and totally crazy, be respectful, but let us know. We'd love to hear it. Yas. Because I will read you for filth if you would. No, I will not. Actually, I don't entertain that kind of commentary. But what that I could. What that I could. My last topic, again, we're going to keep this one light, I think, because we came in with the sad dead doggy stuff, but it was great. So don't feel bad, but I loved reflecting on it, but I'm going to keep it light. You can't help who you love. True or false, and why?
Who you love.
Who you love. Dear Marie. Shout out to the squad. Happy birthday, Cezanne.
Yeah.
You know who you are if you're listening.
Yeah.
If you know, you know. And if you don't, it's cool because it's not that deep. All right,
you,
Mr. B.
You love who you love. That's it.
You can't help who you love. You saying you love who you love.
All right, you can't help.
You who, can't help who you love. True or false, and why? This was on Facebook.
I'm going to say. Yes.
True. Or false yes? True. Okay.
True. Like, you can't help it because the people that you love, the people that you surround yourself, you would hope that it's the people that, you know, is your kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, you can't help it. There's a connection. There's a chemical reaction. There is a cognitive, mental connection and memories and all these different things that you've built. Like, and that you two love each other in some ways. Like, it I don't know. I'm going to say yes, because
you feel like it's about more than just a conscious decision to love someone.
Yes.
There's environmental factors. There's chemical factors. There's biological response. Right. There's so many different layers.
Right.
If I'm understanding you correctly.
Yeah. And I just feel like we naturally gravitate towards people or whatever that we have some commonality or similarity with, or, that we can love, like that we are not going to be with people that we don't relate with, or we hope that we don't be with those people. But, and so when it comes to even your friends, the ones that you love and, or the ones that you even love more, is a chemical.
You can't really help it.
You can't help it. It is, you know, the friend that's closer to you for a reason is closer to you for a reason in some way, because whether conscious or not, it's you can't help it. So
can I devil's advocate you a little bit here? Because on the whole, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for me to answer this question because I'm like, I want to say yes, but I want to say no. I want to say true, but I want to say false.
Right,
ah.
right.
But I'm going
to
devil's advocate.
I told myself to make a decision.
Yes, make a decision. Boom. I love it. Does the fact that you can't help who you love, if we're assuming that this is true, does that then give cheaters, adulterers, people with the wandering eyes, does it give them kind of a good reason for why they do the things they do? If we really can't help who we love, and like I said, I'm inclined to agree with you on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
But if that's really the case, then why do we get upset when the person that we love falls in love with someone else? Or has a moment of chemical response and biological, psychological, all of those factors that come together, even if it's just for a brief moment, even if it's for a week or a month, why do we fault them if they can't fundamentally help it?
Why do we fault them? Well, because we're socialized to, in a relationship, have a certain kind of prototype.
Okay.
There's an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And if the relationship is not discussed thoroughly,
mm-hmm.
then people will go on their defaults, and that's the default.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, someone who doesn't
mm-hmm.
get mad at that or allows it to happen has already thought of it and processed it in a different way than mm-hmm. someone who's in a default.
Yeah.
And so I think naturally we feel we've been slighted in mm-hmm. some way, or like, hey, you broke my trust. Like, it was just supposed to be us. And
mm-hmm.
and then you bring the other things, like, you know, you did it behind my back, or like, is it one of those things like you can still love me, but you love banging bitches on the side,
mm-hmm.
like, as well. Like, yeah. you don't love those people, but I'm going to have to do, you know, like, mm-hmm. there's so many, like, things that go with that.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. So then would you say that if you can't help who you love,
uh-huh.
if you're already in love and attached to someone else, then it's your responsibility to help how you act upon who you love? Or, like, what you do when you figure out that you're falling for or engaged or wanting to be engaged with someone else. So do you feel like that part of it you can control? So, for example, if I'm naturally attracted to someone new that I meet and I gravitate towards them and I feel that pull, I'm married. So my job, even though I feel that and I can't help but feel that way, I can help not asking for your phone number.
Right.
I can help not meeting you at a hotel. I can help these things.
Right.
So I might not help how I instantly feel or what my attraction is, or if we work together
right.
and I get to know you, that I feel maybe a little bit of love.
Right. Right.
But I don't have to do anything about it.
Yeah, that's where I see, yeah, you're totally right. Go back and forth type of thing. But
yeah.
if, you know, if I'm going to say with mine is true, where mm-hmm. it's like you can't help it, I think there's gotta be a different chemical reaction
yeah.
going on in your brain
mm-hmm.
when you are with someone that you've made even a commitment with
mm-hmm.
Versus someone who could just possibly be a fleeting thing
yeah.
or something that is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell the difference when you're like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
that would be nice. He's mm-hmm. so hot,
yeah.
whatever, right?
But it's not, you know.
But it's not that
substantive.
Love. What do they call it? What is that? What do we call it? Consummate love.
Yeah.
Where it has consummate. Everything together. So.
Yes. I like that answer, Mr. B. And I'm going to say that I agree with you on it. Because even though there's a small part of me that wants to say false, you totally can help it. Love is a choice. And I do believe that to
yeah,
a certain extent.
A choice. Yeah.
I do also believe and am more inclined to believe
yeah.
that when you fall for someone, it's not something that you really can help. It just sort of happens.
Right.
You get to decide on how deep it goes and where it goes, but it does happen.
Right.
And you pick a path from there, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. I know we kept it short today. We kept it light. Rest in peace to our beautiful Simon Chug, yeah. whom I miss, and I know Mr. B misses so, so much. Thank you again for bringing him up so that I could have an outlet to talk about him around the time of my birth. Yes. If you are listening to this, it is probably before Mrs. Renee's 34th birthday. Hey. Burr, 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 burr. So happy birthday to me. Shout out to me.
Right.
And subscribe to the blog because we've got a lot of fun stuff. I've been pre-recording videos. We've been cranking out podcasts. I've got a lot of great articles that I have outlined and structured for you guys to hopefully read because reading is fundamental, everybody. But with that being said, we love you all. We hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy recording. Don't forget to subscribe, connect with us on social media, leave us some freaking comments, you guys.
Yeah.
My subscriber count is growing. I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
I want to know how you think and what you feel about these
comments.
Topics. Let a bitch and a dude know.
Right.
And until next time, carry on, wifeys and gents.
Peace out.